Good morning and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. We're gathered here today to say goodbye to our dear friend and brother in Christ, Curtis Kuhlangle. We know that he fought quite hard these last 10 years or so, and we are gathered here today knowing that he certainly spent his whole life trusting in the Lord, committing his way to the Lord, as it says on the first page of the bulletin, his confirmation verse from Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So we gather today, we are mourning his passing, but we're also gathered today in hope of the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come, in hope because of the trust that we have been given in faith in Christ Jesus. Everything that you need for the service will be printed for you on this green bulletin. Except for the words to the hymns, you'll find those in the burgundy-colored hymnal in front of you in the pews. Our opening hymn today is Jerusalem the Golden, which is hymn number 672. And I'll invite the rest of the family to please stand as we sing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In holy baptism, Kurt was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all his sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." At this time, we now join together in speaking the words of Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Kurt and to all your servants who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. Our first reading today comes to us from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 25, beginning with verse 6. "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, 'Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." And the epistle reading today comes from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. Alleluia, Alleluia. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead.
To him be glory and power forever. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel this morning comes from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 6, beginning with verse 51. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks of my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he will also live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our Christian faith, the same words that Kurt often confessed with us. We'll be using the Apostles' Creed. And if you need the words to the creed, they're printed for you on the back flap of the hymnal. We confess together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. We continue with our next hymn, which is number 748. I'm but a stranger here. You may be seated. To the family and friends of Kurt Kuhlangle, to those who are gathered here today to celebrate his life of faith, as well as to mourn its earthly end, and especially to you, Diana, and to Kurt's brothers and sisters, Dennis, Lois, and Larry, and Linda. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we gather here this morning to reflect on the life of a man who really, in many ways, was an absolute pillar of this community for many, many years, it might seem a little bit surreal that this day has actually arrived. I mean, I know that in some ways, for a long time, many of us who are gathered here today have been sort of mentally preparing for the day when one day we would be attending Kurt Kuhlangle's funeral. I mean, honestly, Kurt talked about it quite a bit himself. That was at least my experience over the last couple of years. It seemed like almost every time I had a chance to visit him and we had a nice conversation, he would say something like, "Pastor, I just don't think I'm too long for this world." Or he'd say, "Pastor, I think I'm finally on my last leg." And, you know, I guess Kurt knew this. I didn't have to tell him, but it was always in the Lord's hands. It was always going to happen according to God's timing. Kurt knew that. I guess in the back of my mind, I always just assumed that he would always rally back. You know, I mean, that's what he did. That's what Kurt often did. We kind of joke around about how Kurt was a guy who had 9 lives. And really, in reality, it was probably more like 18 lives, or maybe even 20 lives. He was a fighter. He was strong-willed. He was maybe a little bit stubborn, too. When you think about everything that he went through over the last decade or so, it's absolutely amazing that he was able to do everything that he did. But as mentally tough as he was, and as strong of a pillar as he was here in this community, Kurt did finally succumb to his illnesses this past Tuesday afternoon. And so we gather today almost in disbelief that this day has finally come, that he's no longer with us. But we also gather in joy because we know that Kurt fought the good fight with all his might and that he's finally at rest in the arms of his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. About a week ago, a little over a week ago, I had an opportunity to visit with Kurt in his hospital room, and most of what we talked about that day was actually this very service. He wanted to talk about his funeral. He had had some time to kind of lay there and think about some of the things that he wanted to happen on this day, and so we talked about that, and at one point in their conversation, I asked him, I said, "You know, what kinds of hymns would you like us to sing?" And immediately, the first thing that came to his mind was the hymn that we just finished singing. "I'm but a stranger here, heaven is my home." He really liked the whole concept of that hymn because it was a reminder that with all of the difficult things that he was facing and all of the troubles and all of the weaknesses in his body, that all of that stuff, that earthly stuff, was just temporary stuff. And that ultimately, just like it says in that reading from Philippians that we just heard, our true citizenship is in heaven. Our true home is the glory of God's kingdom. And that certainly gave Kurt a different kind of perspective on all of the difficult times that he had been facing over the years. And I suppose it's true. We could all say that as Christians walking through this veil of tears, that yes, it makes sense in a spiritual way that we are all strangers in this world. But I would imagine also that out of all of us gathered here today, none of us would consider Kurt Kuhlangle a stranger by any means. He was pretty much the opposite of a stranger. When you consider everything that he meant to this community, to Hoyleton, right? I mean, think about like how he was part of the community club, how he was part of the fire department, how he was part of the Lions Club, right? All of these things. I mean, if there was a such thing as a quintessential Hoyletonian, Kirk Kulangle was it. He was a big part of what makes this town what it is. He owned that feed store for 50 years. 50 years. That's amazing. And so I would say it's a wonderful thing to have a man around who was not a stranger to anybody. Not only did he work hard, but he also knew how to relax, right? He would have the guys over for coffee every morning. He would have the guys over for, let's just call it steak, taters, and gravy every evening. Kurt wasn't a stranger around here. Absolutely not. As he went about his work and as he made himself of service to the people of this town, another word to describe him would be reliable. Kurt was very meticulous in the way that he ran his business. He was very regimented. He had a lot of rituals. He had a lot of routines, you would say. I heard somebody say to me that it was like he walked in the same exact footsteps every single day. And he had this personal touch in the way he ran his business that you don't see a lot these days anymore. And you could always count on that because it was so part of his everyday routine. He would make sure that he would do anything possible to make sure that all of the livestock in this area were fed. Whether we're talking about the cows on other people's farms, or maybe even the chickens that he raised, which he referred to as his ladies in white. I heard dairy farmers tell me, sometimes he would know, even before they would, when the feed bins would be getting empty. I mean, that's how in tune he was with the business. But like I said before, Kurt also knew that our citizenship is in heaven. So that means that no matter how good of a business you're owning and running, no matter how good of a customer service you have, or even if you have the best quality feed, you have the most famous feed store in all of Southern Illinois, no matter what it is, none of it lasts forever. And all of it is temporary. And so Kurt ultimately did not put his trust and hope in those things. Instead, he came here. Sunday after Sunday, he'd sit right back there in that pew. And he would hear that good news of the gospel. He would hear about God's forgiveness for him. He would hear about how he was God's child, forgiven and washed clean in holy baptism. And then, after hearing those awesome words, those good news words of the gospel, he would leave that pew and he would come up here to this altar. And he would kneel at this rail and he would receive the body and blood of Christ. He would be fed with God's forgiveness in that way. That is the kind of feed that really lasts forever. The living bread sent down from heaven to satisfy us in a way that literally nothing else on this earth possibly could. In fact, that's exactly what Jesus is talking about in the gospel reading that we heard from John chapter 6. Jesus is telling us that in a world full of things that are only temporary, things that are here for a moment and then gone, his gifts, his promises are the things that truly last forever. Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." So, in other words, Jesus gave up his life. He let his body be destroyed on the cross so that he could feed the world. So that he could feed you and me. So that he could feed Kirk and all of God's children on this world with the kind of food that actually does last. Because the food that Jesus gives us is himself. There's nothing else in this world that we could possibly hold on to that will do for us what Jesus did in his life, in his death, in his resurrection. Everything else satisfies for just a moment. And then that moment passes. And so we try to enjoy the things that we have in this world while we have them. But at the same time, we know we can't put our hope and our trust in any of those things. Because if we do that, eventually we're going to be pretty disappointed. And Kurt knew that. And he certainly enjoyed his life. He enjoyed everything that life had to offer. He enjoyed things like getting out and playing golf. He enjoyed going over to the original Springs Hotel and eating meals over there. Apparently, he enjoyed polka. We never even talked about that. Apparently, he even enjoyed dancing to polka music. He enjoyed smoking cigars. He enjoyed so many different things, but none of those things in that list compare to the bread that comes down from heaven to feed Kurt's soul, to bring him the promises of salvation and the hope of heaven, which he is now experiencing even as we gather here together today. So here we are, and we see this casket in front of us, and it's a painful reminder that, of course, nothing in this world lasts, not even the earthly lives of some of our closest friends. And yet, even in this moment, we can have hope, because we know that God has promised us the same eternal life that he promised to Kurt, and we have been fed with the same bread from heaven, the word and the promises of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will one day raise us all up from the dead. Just like Isaiah told us in our Old Testament reading, on that day, the Lord will swallow up death forever. He will wipe away tears from all faces. He will feed us with a feast of rich food, with a feast of well-aged wine, just like it says here in verse 6. Someday, we're going to sit alongside Kurt, and we're going to enjoy that meal together, that feast, that heavenly banquet, the marriage feast of the Lamb. And it's a feast that is absolutely beyond our imagination. And it's not just because we're finally going to see Kurt drinking something that's not stag for a change. It's a feast that's beyond imagination, because it's a feast that actually leads us to never hunger again, to never thirst ever again. And so, until that day comes, let's follow in some of those same footsteps that Kurt traveled every single day. Being present here in the world, doing everything that we can to love our neighbor, to bring the love of Christ to them, but at the same time recognizing that our true citizenship is in heaven. And may we return over and over again to the Lord's feed store, where he gives us his word, where he gives us his sacraments. Because as Jesus said, whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We now join together in our next hymn, which is Be Still My Soul, number 752. Thank you. Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. Lord, in your mercy, grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption, to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy, give to the family of Curtis Kulangle and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy, give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope, and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy, help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy, receive our thanks for Kurt and for all the blessings you bestowed on him in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with him we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy, O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations, and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Amen. Let us go forth in peace.
In the name of the Lord. Amen.
This time the congregation may be seated. I would like to invite Waylon Middendorf to come and join us at the lectern to share some words of remembrance.
Thank you, Pastor Wallenberg, for the words of the gospel today, and I appreciate that very much. And I thank Dennis and Lois and Larry and Linda and Diana for giving me this opportunity. I have to admit that I have given many funeral sermons, but I have never given a eulogy before today, so I hope that this works out. I am humbled and honored to be here in the midst of all of you, and especially as we remember and reflect on Kurt. Kurt meant a lot to me, and he endured many things over the last years, and they often brought me to my knees, both in tears and in prayer. But that's not why we're here today. We're here today to remember and to give thanks for Kurt and to think about what he meant to me and to all of you. I have just a few memories that I want to share about Kurt. You see, I've known him, well, probably before I was five, but I don't remember that. But I know we started school together at 5 years old at what is now, well, no longer exists, but was Hogshead School. Although when we started, I think it was called St. Luke's Lutheran School because it was a parochial school we were taught by the pastor when we started school. There were five of us boys because we were parochial school, they allowed us to cheat a little. Otherwise, Kurt and I would not have been in that class that we were in because I was born in December and he was born in November and we were only five. Normally, that would have meant we would have carried over to the following year's class. But because there were five of us boys, they allowed us to begin together. We began first grade with Harold Cutmeyer, Ronald Ellerbush, Dwayne Menemeyer, and Kurt, and myself. Harold, Ronald, and now Kurt are no longer with us. They have gone home. In the eighth grade, we were four, and we were blessed to receive a fifth member so that we could continue to be the infamous Covington Five. I have so many memories of those years, memories of baseball and softball at recess time, games like Prisoner Base, which I don't think anybody plays anymore, and hide and seek, and just an enormous amount of time that we spent together at the church and at school and at various other activities. But I also remember bike rides. I remember riding out to the levee on our bicycles at the Kaskaskia River. I remember playing bicycle tag in Carmar's pasture. It's quite a challenge to ride a bicycle up and down through the ditches and on the cow paths in a pasture. All of those things, including hunting trips that Kurt and I took, were really more like expeditions. We often didn't find many rabbits. But we always had time to stroll out to places like Turkey Lake. I remember getting there one year, and the lake was frozen, and we walked across on the ice. Probably not a smart thing to do, but then whoever accused Kurt and I of being the smartest pennies. And then, all of a sudden, we were through with high school, and the five of us more or less parted our ways. I went off to the Marine Corps, and Kurt went to work at the quarry. And I remember when I came back, he was still working at the quarry, and I can remember walking out to go squirrel hunting in the creek bottoms, and there was Kurt already drilling holes almost before the sun came up so that they could blast for rock. I also remember with both joy and a bit of sadness, Kurt's wedding. I remember how hot it was on that day and how I nearly melted. I think it was 101 or 102 or something like that, and no air conditioning. This would have been back in 64. Things didn't work out, but I do remember playing pinochle with Kurt and Marianne a few times, and I remember that they gave my wife a baby shower when we were expecting our first son. Some years later, I went to work for Contel. Kurt went to work and began running the feed mill here in Hoyleton. And I know from many conversations with Kurt that things were not always easy. And up to a few years ago, Kurt would always say to me, "Mitty, I'll never get out of debt." Even so, Kurt enjoyed what he was doing, and he was so committed to his customers, so much so that I remember eating lunch with him at the original Springs, and then he would take off and take a load of feed to somebody on a Sunday afternoon to make sure that they had feed for Monday morning. That's who Kurt was. He was committed to his customers, and he was committed to his friends and his family. And then I remember a time I stopped in at the store. That was when my mother was not doing well, and I stopped in at the feed store one day on the way to take my mom to a doctor's appointment, and I told Kurt of my plans to retire in 2006, and he looked at me and he said, "Oh," he said, "Mitty, retire ain't in the Bible." I said, "I know, Kurt, but tired is, and I'm tired." Kurt was one of these guys that just never seemed to run out of energy. The last years, I don't know how he was able to do all that he did. My goodness, I'm just amazed at Kurt, and I'm so happy to have made this journey with him. Last Sunday, I went to visit him at the hospital for the last time. He was really weak and really didn't have much to say, but he did say one thing that stuck in my mind. He said, "It's been a wonderful ride." And he's right. It was a wonderful ride. But I also think Kurt was telling me a little more underneath all of that, having been around this for a few years. I think Kurt was telling me his final goodbye. I think he knew that I wouldn't see him again in this world. Oh, don't get me wrong, Kurt and I both had our flaws and both did a lot of things in our youth. And we didn't eat, but we drank a lot of steak, taters, and gravy. Sometimes we would go to dances, and Kurt was a tremendous polka dancer, believe it or not. He could really dance. Me, I wasn't so much. I was better at steak, eggs, and taters, and gravy. But he could dance, and we would hang out together. We did a lot of that hanging out even when we were in high school, because none of the five of us really did a lot of dating, and so we would often go to basketball games as a group. And then our big highlight of the evening was to go to the Old Rock Inn, buy a bottle of Pepsi and a bag of Planters peanuts, and pour the Planters peanuts in the bottle of Pepsi. It's the only way to drink Pepsi-Cola. Makes it a little salty and sweet at the same time. I could go on for a long time, but I know that you're all getting anxious to go, and I have many memories that I will share with anybody who would like to at some point in time. But for today, I would just like to close by reminding all of you that life does go on. It's not going to be easy for some of us because we're going to miss Kurt. But I've always found that it helps if we share our stories of Kurt with our friends and our family. That helps begin the healing process. It never really completely goes away, but it does make it easier. And we then have all those wonderful memories that can live on in our heart. So I beg you to share your stories of Kurt with your family and your friends. And if they get tired, please give me a call. I promise I'll listen. And now it's time to say goodbye to Kurt, a dear friend and a cousin. And I thank God for putting him into my life. And now I commend Kurt to our gracious, merciful, and loving Lord. Goodbye, dear friend. Rest in peace.
Thank you, Wayland. We'll conclude our service now with our closing hymn, which is number 878, Abide With Me.